In 1992, the novel The Bridges of Madison County was published. The book was one of the best sellers of the 20th century, selling 50 million worldwide. It chronicles in graphic and romantic detail the overwhelmingly passionate four-day affair of an Iowa farm wife and a National Geographic photographer. They never see each other again, but for the rest of her life, she devotes one day a year to mooning over what happened. In 1995, another international bestseller rocketed to the top of the charts with passages designed to match Madison County's intensity, The Horse Whisperer. Here's a passionate passage, one I can share from the pulpit, unlike many of them. Annie leaned forward and found his mouth again, and he felt in her an urgency that wasn't there before. He tasted the salt of her tears in the corner of her lips, the place he'd yearned so long to touch and never dreamed he'd kiss. And as he held her, he thought, not that this was wrong, but only concerned that she might come to feel it so. But if this were wrong, then what in the whole of life was right? I had forgotten how badly written that book was. Both of these books swept the book-buying public. Neither is written in deathless prose, nor has the potential for becoming a classic. But we are drawn to them by the vicarious experience of passion. We are fascinated by passion. In some part of our heart or soul, we long for the experience. Few of us genuinely want, in real life, the home wrecking, routine overturning, love of the millennium kind of liaison enjoyed by fictional lovers. Another novelist in a book called The Passion notes how very unsettling passion is, in the words of a character who has just fallen in love. How is it that one day life is orderly and you are content? A little cynical, perhaps, but on the whole, just so. And then, without warning, you find the solid floor is a trap door and you are now in another place whose geography is uncertain and whose customs are strange. We who were fluent find life is a foreign language. Somewhere between the swamp and the mountains, somewhere between fear and sex, somewhere between God and the devil, passion is, and the way there is sudden and the way back is worse. Not to mention that such liaisons embody only one kind of passion, the loving lust of one human for another. There is more to passion, involving us in that which is larger than we are. This other kind is more complicated, perhaps deeper, perhaps wider. Let's look at how Wikipedia deals with what passion means. It reminds us that the word is from the Latin patior, meaning to suffer or to endure, like the passion of Jesus. It is related to the word compatible. Wikipedia tells us that passion is an intense emotion, compelling feeling, enthusiasm, or desire for something. It is also a lively or eager interest, admiration, love. My favorite part of this definition says, a love for something and a passion for something are very similar. In my experience, long-term passion, as opposed to the red-hot, sear your eyeballs affair or fling, involves commitment, generosity, give and take, flexibility, and resilience. Think about something for which you have a great passion. Perhaps you might feel it as the bliss that Joseph Campbell talks about. Gardening. Grandchildren, music, art, walking, reading, friends, your vocation, the communities to which you belong, cleaning, painting, animals. I think about my horse, Council. a kind-hearted and independent-minded thoroughbred. I only met him a couple of years ago, and I am a farm girl, but not a horsewoman. We bonded. Last year, I spent July through September taking riding lessons on him, getting to know him, and conceiving, against most rational considerations, a genuine passion for him. I bought him in October and see him at least twice a week. This passion is, to quote Wikipedia, very similar to love, as a matter of fact. I'll bet yours is too. It's a lot different from a fling, though, where we can pull out all the stops, then one way or another take the road back to our old life. Think about the subject of your passion slash love. If it's anything like mine, it involves so much more than the overwhelming experience, although those moments are definitely part of it. Oftener, there are those other things I mentioned: commitment, generosity, give and take, flexibility, and resilience. In my case, I pay good money regularly to see that he is well housed, fed, and cared for. More importantly, I give regularly of my time and attention, driving a half hour each way to see the big old deer. I tromp around in the poop and the mud, leading this very big animal to a place where he can run and romp. My generosity of time and love bring generosity from him as he learns the give and take of our relationship. In January, as a result of misguided advice from my 20-year-old teacher and very bad writing on my part, I fell off counsel and cracked my ribs pretty badly. Now here's where the flexibility and resilience come in. I have a new teacher, much closer to my age, who has been helping us to take it really slow, learning new levels of give and take, of generosity toward each other, of our everyday bond of passion. Last Friday, after exercising a lot of the over-friskies out of him, and with profound and gentle attention from my teacher, I was back in the saddle again, a mile-wide smile on my face, as he walked sedately around the ring, helping me get my confidence back. Everyone's life is enriched by everything we have passion for. A lot of us have passion for this religious community. Not everyone, of course. Friday night, it was my sad duty to listen to a man who came to this church once and will never come again, because the people who greeted him earnestly explained, "We don't believe in that Christian stuff." Less alarmingly, there are lots of you who are perhaps enthusiastic or positive and yet less than passionate. But there are so many of us who are passionate about the Boise Unitarian Universalist Fellowship, who bring commitment, generosity, give and take, flexibility, and resilience to our presence here. Last night's gala was the kickoff of our spring stewardship drive, and this morning is also part of opening this most important canvas season, working toward a budget that will fund our visions, dreams, hopes, and plans. At the gala, we all sang a chorus of the song the choir sang to us. "We're the colors in the rainbow, we're the stars up in the sky. No two of us are quite the same, and here's the reason why. We all have a purpose and a special place to serve, for it takes a world of differences to make a difference in the world." Let me tell you why some of us are passionate about this place that so honors our differences, and why we hope you will welcome your visiting steward and will pledge as generously as possible. In as many ways as possible, knowing what a difficult human task this is, we in this fellowship hope to embody love. We are passionate about love, in the largest sense of that overworked word. At our best, we nurture souls. You and everyone who enters our doors is invited to open your heart and find your place here. How many of you have attended a memorial service here? Have you felt the shared love, grief, celebration, the sharing of hearts as we bid farewell to yet another loved one in a long, long line of so many farewells? Love is always so present in this room when we are honoring one who has left us. And sometimes we feel it in committee meetings and chalice circles and our dear, dear friendships and those energetic, caring meetings of the stewardship committee, which also have great food. Last night, Mike Lemieux played and sang "Bridge Over Troubled Waters." I'll take your part when darkness comes and pain is all around. Like a bridge over troubled waters, I will lay me down. Souls are nurtured. Have you listened to the blasting out voices of our kids when I tell them to really yell their affirmation before they go to class? I don't know about you, but my passion is kindled so deeply by the knowledge that we are totally committed to a religious education that nurtures respect, open minds, curiosity, courage, compassion, and yes, even love. Last night, two of our young people offered testimonials. Jay Duffy is a teenager who has been in our church for 15 years. She has loved so many things. The Boston trip, the people who have depended on her and supported her, being able in a church talent show at the age of 6 to be able to read a poem about regurgitation. 9-year Tenjay Zimmerer told us of his teachers and friends, how much he loves being in plays. And he said, "I still believe in heaven and in the underworld. I'm glad I'm in a church where I can believe what I want." Spiritual experience is, we always hope, central to the experience of this church. Next Tuesday will be the final meeting of my wonderful spiritual practice class. 30-some of us chanting, breathing, doing Tai Chi, sharing sacred words. One night we went out in silence to the labyrinth east of the courtyard, lit by luminaria, those little brown bags with sand and a candle in each. We chanted, then slowly entered, stopping a moment in the archway entrance, beginning our walk back and forth to the center. I was the last to enter the sacred circle. And as I stepped through the arch, it felt like my hair stood on end. My body was lit by invisible emotional fire. Gratitude and love filled me wordlessly, and tears flowed. Here at BOOF, we always hope everyone will follow a spiritual path, hope that we are united by our reverence and holy center. Those pathways take us to the love embodied in social action. We are strong supporters of the lesbian, gay, bisexual, and transgendered community. Sunday night at Interfaith Sanctuary is pretty much staffed by our congregation folks. We contribute $10,000 a year or more by sending 25% of our plate offering to causes we believe in. We help children at Whittier School, one of whom wrote a terribly poignant unsolicited note thanking us for the backpack program because now she doesn't have to be hungry on the weekend. And my heart is constantly touched by the dozens of people who have stepped up to lead this congregation. This year, The second of fairly tough economic times, they listened well to what they have heard from you, and we are not conducting a special debt reduction drive this year. They have done their level best to let everyone know what is going on, to be transparent and flexible. Theirs is the love embodied in service, so requiring that commitment, that generosity, that resilience. Is there anything more important than a community that does its level best to speak and act in everyday love, open, embracing to all, helping heal hearts and souls and the world? We've heard a lot about love today from our fabulous musicians, that theme that characterizes us at our best. We're told in the songs to think of your fellow man and lend him a helping hand, put a little love in your heart. In a moment, we will be reminded to tell each other the way we feel, to shower the people we love with love. The song that Carrie and Susan sang after our meditation speaks eloquently of the loving vision. I would swim out to save you in your sea of broken dreams. When all your hopes are sinking, let me show you what love means. I would whisper love so loudly every heart could understand that love and only love can join the tribes of man. Love can build a bridge between your heart and mine. Don't you think it's time? It's always time to act out of our deeply held and long-term passions. It's always time to work toward making love more likely. It's always time for each other, for our kids, for joyful church work, for healing the world. It's always time for generosity.